Thank you, Jesus, for the beautiful revelations you've shared with us about your mother's role in the church. Please remind us to enlist her daily in our prayers, because truly she's honored by you, and all generations will call her blessed among women. Amen. This is the third in a series about Mary's role in the church according to Scripture, number 3 in a 7-part series. So today we're going to share about the wedding at Cana, taken from John 2, second chapter of John 1 through 12. And I'm using the English Standard Version here. The wedding of Cana. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom aside and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. I love this story. It's a beautiful story. First of all, Scripture reveals that Jesus has a great deal of love and respect for his mother and the 5th commandment, honor your mother and father. It says on the third day there was a wedding and the mother of Jesus was there. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Now, this was a tremendous embarrassment to the young couple who were just starting off on their life together. But like most of us, when we're young, we may not have enough money for a lavish meal with plenty of wine, especially if more people show up than what's been planned for. I believe that was a very painful moment for them. And I also believe that Jesus was fully aware of it. Certainly any kind of blemish on a celebration would cause a stir among the crowd that could be felt. Nonetheless, Jesus did not lift a finger to lessen their embarrassment. The question here is, did Jesus know they were out of wine? Could God be ignorant that a commodity so important to a celebration was gone? Dear ones, this is not God's nature. Can you imagine Father God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, not lifting a finger to help this young couple? I can't. He's just too good and loving to pass by this opportunity to do a kindness. After all, Scripture states that Jesus went about doing good in Acts 10:38. Now, I believe Mary was so tender-hearted that she couldn't bear to see this couple embarrassed and being the talk of a town on their very special day. So she went to her son, knowing full well that he could remedy the problem, and said, "Son, they have no wine." And Jesus came to earth not only to die for us sinners, but to reveal the true heart of the Father. How could he pass up this opportunity to do good? I believe it was a matter of timing and that he was not willing to do a miracle before his time to be revealed. And this is how he answered her. Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now, for you and I, in our English language, this seems like a rebuff, calling his mother woman. That has always sounded very disrespectful to me. But in the process of looking for an image for this story, I ran across something called Got Questions on the internet. And this is what the person said. The term woman was used like we use the term ma'am. By addressing Mary this way, Jesus does distance himself from his mother somewhat. He was exerting his independence from her wishes. But in no way was it a rude manner of speaking. What does this have to do with me? Or why do you involve me? Again, Jesus is expressing the fact that he's independent of his mother. As eager as Mary was to see Jesus do a miracle, she had no right to determine the time or the manner in which Jesus publicly revealed his glory. Jesus makes his point gently and without being rude. However, Jesus did act, performing his first miracle. He turned the water into wine, but he did so in a very subtle and subdued way. Only the servants, Mary, and a few disciples even knew what he had done. So Jesus isn't being rude or dismissive in John 2:4. He is politely pointing out that he follows God's timing, not Mary's, and that this is not his moment to be publicly revealed. Some of the respectful tone is lost in translation, perhaps, but Jesus was not being rude. And that's the end of that little snippet from Got Questions on the internet. Okay, so Scripture reveals that Mary knew her son's heart. I believe that even though she sensed his motive for not acting yet was that he didn't want his mission revealed, she also knew he loved her and would do anything he could to please her for all she had suffered and would suffer in her life for him. And the fifth commandment, honor thy mother and father, would be in his mind as well, I'm sure. Scripture also reveals that Mary has absolute trust in her son's goodness and the need for all to respond to him in obedience, no matter how foolish it seems. Can't you just picture this? I was thinking about it earlier. Here they are, out of wine, and Jesus tells them to fill jars with water. Each jar held 20 to 30 gallons, and there were 6 of them. 180 gallons of water for what? Are you kidding me? The feast is almost over. After long days of preparation and celebration, it was getting late. They'd worked hard. They were hungry and tired. I can just hear the servants saying, "This guy's Meshuggah. Something ain't right about this." By the way, Meshuggah is a Yiddish word for Looney Tunes. But Scripture reveals, his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Oh, this is such a beautiful key to Mary. Mary's faith in her son's goodness. She knew his heart and put her trust in him even though he gave her no grounds for hope. Her ability to counsel. She knew that the servants might respond with a little scorn and resistance, so she counseled them to be obedient ahead of time. So there were the 6 stone water jars. fill the jars with water. They filled them to the brim, and he said to them, "Now, draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. And when the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. How beautiful, what beautiful fruit that is. Now Scripture reveals that Mary's intercession moved on Jesus to do his first public miracle out of season. Jesus knew they had no more wine, but he was not willing to step in until his mother approached him with her heartfelt concern. and moved by her petition, he granted her wish. And what did she do? Turned around and instructed the servants as to what their response should be, no matter how foolish the situation looked. She could see and understand things about her son that they could not see or understand. And dear ones, Jesus is still responding to his mother's petitions. If I had a choice of anyone to pray for me in heaven or on earth as a prayer partner, who would I choose? We've already established that Jesus set the precedent on the Mount of Transfiguration, that it is permitted to talk with the saints in glory. And we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses urging us on with their prayers and guidance. Angels, for instance, speak to us and leave impressions in our hearts and minds, warnings or encouragements to do or not to do. And we are aware of their watchfulness over us at times. And we are aware of their watchfulness over us at times. If we are to pray without ceasing, how can we not pray in heaven as the cloud when we watch our children headed for the edge of a cliff or distracted away from their perfect destiny? People often ask me, "Where's the rosary in the Bible? I've never heard of the rosary in the Bible." And I tell them, because I've gotten tired of going through these long explanations, I ask them, "Where's the Holy Trinity in the Bible? If you answer that for me, I will answer where the rosary is in the Bible." And then, of course, I give them references to these teachings. But so far, through Scripture alone, we have established that Mary was conceived without the stain of the sins of Adam and Eve. She was pure and a virgin, trusting and obedient, gifted in prophecy, worshipful and acknowledging Jesus as her Savior from the womb, and willing to serve even when it would look to others like she'd been unchaste. She was able to safeguard grace and grow in grace without losing what God had given her. And she was highly favored by God. Her character was outstanding. God is with Mary. She had cultivated the presence of God in her life, even at the age of 14, and she's blessed among women. In other words, she's set apart above all other women. She was meek and humble and full of grace, hiding God's words in her heart. She was chosen by God to carry his son in her womb, and she would be cherished through all generations. She was obedient, even though her obedience could have cost her her life. So these are things that the Lord is revealing to us about Mary in the Scriptures. And finally, from this segment, she was an intercessor, a tremendous intercessor and teacher, and able to counsel people according to what should be done for her son and how they should obey. She knew her son, and she knew what he liked and what he didn't like. And she counseled them, and she counsels me. I still see her and hear her. Sometimes when I'm praying, I'll get an impression or a word, just like I see and hear Jesus. And many times, Mary is with Jesus when I'm being given a word. They appear together. And as far as her prayers are concerned, she's responsible for guiding and praying me into an intimate relationship with Jesus. She's also the mother of the bride and has helped to form me into who I am to Jesus, bringing me deeply into the family of God with a mother and a father. She's one of the greatest gifts ever given to mankind. God bless you, heart dwellers. Please take these messages to heart and enlist Our Lady in your cause by praying the rosary. And I want to thank those of you who have sent us donations. We really appreciate it. We're running a little short right now, so we haven't been able to give to the cause of trafficked children lately. But we've had a few needs here. We've bought firewood for several very, very poor families out in the wilderness here to help them out. And I appreciate so much your giving. And we do share it with those who are in need. So thank you so very much. And the Lord bless you for your kindness to us.